Every year when we begin a new church year, we always review this important statement that drives the future direction of our church. Therefore, today as we begin this new church year, we're going to look at this statement again. As a matter of fact, in the next 10 weeks, we're going to set aside these 2 months to study every part of this mission and vision statement. Then in January, we will begin a new series on authentic discipleship. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, as we approach this mission and vision statement of our church, we pray that, Lord, as we look at the passage today, may we be encouraged and may we truly follow the role model we see in the scriptures. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we begin to review our statement, the Lord lay upon my heart a New Testament church that truly lived out our mission and vision statement. I'm referring to the passage we have just read earlier, the Church of Antioch. Now, the other day, I took a piece of paper and I broke down, our mission statement. And I realized that the Church of Antioch was the church that truly lived out every element of our mission and vision statement. Here are the proofs. Make disciples, love the Lord, love neighbors, local evangelism, church planting, global missions. And you can find, examples in these verses from the Church of Antioch. I understand today there are many good churches out there that we can learn from, but God is telling us that it's even better if we can emulate from the Church of Antioch. So for this reason, this morning, as well as next Sunday, we are going to emulate 10 things from the Church of Antioch. Before I go any further, let's review a little bit. I'm sure in your Sunday school lesson, in your Bible study, you must have studied the Church of Antioch before. But in order to refresh our memory, let us look at this little profile of the city of Antioch as well as the Church of Antioch. First of all, the Church of Antioch, not the same as Pisidian Antioch, because you understand in Acts 13:14, there's another city called Antioch. The Antioch of Syria is the church we're studying today. It's not the same as the one in Acts 13:14. The city of Antioch was the third largest city in Roman Empire. And it was a commercial center and the home of a large Jewish community. The citizens, the residents there, widely practice immorality and prostitution. How about the Church of Antioch? It was a multicultural congregation. They were discipled by Paul and Barnabas for 1 year. And then the believers were called Christians first in Antioch. Now let's go back to the 10 things that we should emulate from this church. Today we will only cover the first 5, and the Lord willing, next week, next Sunday, we're going to cover the rest of the 10. First, show extraordinary work in ordinary people. Now, we're going to look at many verses closely, so open up to Acts 11. We're going to look at verse 19. Verse 19 of chapter 11 of Acts. So then those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except to Jews alone. Now this verse clearly tells us how the Church of Antioch was founded. It was founded by the ones who were scattered. Now, who are the scattered ones? We don't know for sure because the text did not say. It did not give us the answer. What we do know for sure is that none of these scattered ones was any of the apostles. How can we be so sure? Turn with me to Acts 8. You may keep your thumb in Acts 11 and then flip back to Acts 8. Look at Acts 8, verse 1. Saul, and in hearty agreement with putting him in death, And on that day, a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. Notice the last verse, except the who? The apostles. Underline the words, except the apostles. This is significant because the church of Antioch was not founded by any one of the apostles. The church of Antioch was founded by those who were scattered, and none of those who were scattered was any of the apostles. So the church basically was founded by the witness of some ordinary, unnamed Christians who moved to Antioch. As we look at this particular characteristics, let us think of this application. How can we show extraordinary work? How can we emulate the church of Antioch to show extraordinary work of God in ordinary people? Let's think of this application. It's simply, don't over-depend on your leaders. Don't be afraid to step up to the plate when opportunities arise. Now, many of you serve in different committees. You serve on different committees. You serve in different ministry groups and Sunday school classes. This principle that we can emulate can be applied across the board. Let me just share with you just a recent accident. 3 Sundays ago, one of our 9-year-old non-Christian Sunday school students had a severe accident. His name is Samson. He is only 9 years old. He came to Sunday school and with his sister, and then he went home. Unfortunately, that afternoon, as he was crossing the street, he was literally run over, or roll over to be exact, by a big truck. His face suffered severe injury. His lung collapsed and his liver began bleeding. He was really in a very, very bad shape. I still remember vividly the next day when I got to the hospital, I saw one of our lay couples who were English speaking. This English-speaking couple, they were already there, spending time with the family and interpreting for the parents. This couple did not have any seminary training, but their persistent visits and care to the boy and his immediate family for the entire week spoke volumes. Although this couple is English-speaking, they also became instrumental in leading the Chinese-speaking father of the boy to receive Christ. Later on that week, this couple was even given an opportunity to share the gospel with, again, Chinese-speaking uncles and aunties of the little boy, Samson. Because of the power of prayer, God did perform a miracle in this situation. Soon the boy was able to breathe on his own. And the bleeding from his liver finally stopped. His recovery was more rapid than anticipated. You know what happened? Last week, this boy Samson was discharged from the hospital to return home. I can tell he's normal. More, very, very, very sure that he is normal now because he is back to the video games. When the boy regained his strength, this English-speaking couple seized the opportunity to lead this little boy to become a born-again Christian. Though he had been coming to our church Sunday school, but he had not been born again. So this couple had the privilege not only to lead his father to Christ, but also to lead this 9-year-old boy, Samson, to Christ. What this non-seminary trained couple did for the boy and his extended family is far greater than what we can imagine. God uses ordinary people to accomplish his extraordinary work. Dear brothers and sisters, don't over-depend. Don't depend only on your leaders. Don't be afraid to step up to the plate when opportunities arise. Second thing that we can emulate from the Church of Antioch is to support cross-cultural work. Look at verse 20, back to Acts 11. Look at verse 20. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. Now you have to understand, the Church of Antioch was a church that had a big heart for God's kingdom. Even though the charter members of this church were mostly Jewish people from Jerusalem, they did not suppress the proclamation of the language group to the language groups and cultures that are different, that were different than their own. We have to emulate the Church of Antioch to strongly support cross-cultural work. You may wonder what kind of cross-cultural work our church is doing right now. Please look at, you know, these pictures. These are the ones that I can think of. Inner city ministry. Perhaps you may not know that we do minister to inner city kids. Every Sunday from 3 to 5 in the afternoon, we bus them from inner city to church, taught them, teach them lessons, sing with them, feed them, and then drive them back every Sunday. And these people are ministered to by English-speaking brothers and sisters. Then we have Navajos, Indians to Arizona. Thank God for our high schoolers. Every year, they go there. It's not a three-star hotel. It's worse than Motel 6. Under intense heat, they sacrifice a lot in order to express the love of Jesus to the Navajos Indians. And not only that, every now and then the adults join. And you see in the picture, many adults, many men join in a building project. They build bathrooms, they build other facilities for the Navajos. Then we have India team. You must have heard many reports before by this group. Thank the Lord for this group to go out to do cross-cultural work. Then we also have a more team. A lot of our collegiates and young adults, they sacrifice their vacation time, their holiday, their day off. They went to a very poor area in Mexico to build facilities, to build houses for the poor. Thank the Lord that these people were blessed and ministered to by these English-speaking brothers and sisters. Now, as I observe these examples of cross-cultural work, I also realize that they are all only a very small percentage of our church population. How about the rest of us? As we look at the scripture, we know that this is a biblical mandate. For God so loved the world. The Bible never says, for God so loved the Chinese only. The Bible says, that for God so loved the world. We may not like it, but this is what God says. We are to be faithful to the scripture, the scriptural teaching. We are to emulate the Church of Antioch to participate in cross-cultural work. Now here are the opportunities for you to consider. Every week, we are still in need of drivers and helpers for our inner city ministry. If you can help, contact James Cho. How about Arizona Navajos Ministry? A group of our English-speaking men, they're planning to go there once again in May over Memorial Day weekend to help out in different projects. Can you connect with John Fong? Indian team? They are planning to leave in January, first day of January 2013. I believe they welcome people to join. So if your schedule allows, please consider joining them. On more team, this year we're going to have two teams going to Mexico. And if you can help out the poor in this concrete way, contact Minister John Chow. Now, how about those of us who cannot go and participate? It's our responsibility to pray. Sometimes we are not active, meaning soliciting prayer request from these groups who are doing cross-cultural ministry. Can we take initiative? Can we contact them as they are approaching the departure day? Let us be active in soliciting prayer requests. Other than that, you and I can support financially. May God help us to be faithful, to emulate the Church of Antioch. Now, how about our own home? The Lord willing, next Sunday, the Hispanic Church is going to plant a new church in Chinatown, L.A. They are going to use our facility every Sunday afternoon, 5 o'clock. So you're going to see them, you know, in our campus, Sunday afternoon. Now, can we show our support? Can we pray for them? Can we even smile to them? Can we express our welcome when we see them Sunday afternoon? By the way, I've just learned a new Spanish word. Bibernito. Bibernito. Oh, is that correct? Welcome. Now, this is simple, you know, right? Jaime, did I say it right? Can you say to your neighbor, Bienvenido? Now, that's very little we can do. You know, this is a mandate. This is a biblical mandate. Let us, you know, express joy and welcome and partner with our brothers and sisters to reach out to the unsaved of Hispanic people population in this area for Christ's kingdom's sake. Number three, we are to emulate the Church of Antioch to experience God's promise of His presence. Look at verse 21, chapter 11 again. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. I was so impressed as I read the words. A large number of people turned to God, not because of their church programming, but because the Lord's hand was with them. In other words, the Lord's presence was with them. How do we keep the Lord's presence? You know, in past years, Dr. Lin reminded us frequently that we are to take sin, S-I-N, sin, very seriously in order to keep the presence of God. We all say amen to that. However, please note that Matthew 28, the Great Commission, gives us another perspective on retaining the Lord's presence among us. Let us review this familiar verse. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, not sometimes, but always, even to the end of the age. Now, those of you who are Bible, you know, experts, you understand there is only one main verb in this verse, in this Great Commission. The rest are participles. The main verb is the word disciple, make disciples. That means the main focus, the thrust, the everything, the central point, the consummation of the verse are the words make disciples. Now you have to understand, this is a conditional promise. God promises that He is going to be with us always, provided that we will keep on making disciples. Now you have to understand, disciples is not a synonym for church attendees. Although you and I have received Jesus as our Savior and attend church regularly, it does not mean that we are automatically disciples of our Lord. How can we tell if we are truly a disciple or are making disciples? Look at this verse again. Because this Great Commission implies a true disciple of Christ must have at least these two characteristics. Number one, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. How can we tell if we are truly a disciple or are making disciples? First of all, keep on helping non-Christians to come to know Christ and baptizing them. If we don't get baptized, if we don't help people to get to accept Christ and baptize them, we are not really making disciples. Number two, keep on teaching them to observe. Let me underline the word, observe all that Jesus commanded us to do. Now, there's a vast difference between teach and teach people to observe. There's a day and night difference. Now, we can give a pretty good lecture in our classes. But that's one thing. Imparting our knowledge, our Bible knowledge to our students, to our audience is one thing. And teaching them to observe what God has taught us is another. Now, the verse says very clearly, it's not just teaching, but teaching them to observe. Then, this is called true disciple of Christ. Then, God's presence will be with us until the end of the age. As an application, as we begin this new church year, evaluate our age group and ministry group or Sunday school class by asking ourselves these two questions. Number one, in the past year, have we led anyone to the Lord and encouraged him or her to get baptized? Number two, in the past year, perhaps you have taught in Sunday school class or Bible study group, but have you helped anyone to practice and observe what God has taught us? Have you seen lives being transformed? Number four. We are to emulate the Church of Antioch by being attractive to outsiders meaningfully. Now let me explain this a little bit by drawing your attention to verses 22 and 23a. The text said, the news about them reached the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. Then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced. The news, the word news in this verse refers to the wonderful work of God in the church of Antioch. What we learn from this verse is that the word of God does attract, the word of God did attract outsiders to check things out. As a result, the church at Jerusalem sent Barnabas to Antioch, and after he saw the work of God with his own eyes, he rejoiced. So as I see this picture, I truly desire that one day our church can just be like that. Every now and then, I receive phone calls from outsiders requesting to see our facilities. Just last month, I received a couple of phone calls from individuals asking if they can look at our brand new building, the Life Center. Even non-Christians are no different. We have non-Christian organizations making similar requests. But as I look at this example of the Church of Antioch, I have a dream. My dream is simply this. In the future, outsiders will want to visit us, not because of our size, our programs, our buildings, our facilities, and all that, but because of what they have heard about, what God is doing among us. Wouldn't it be nice if people call in and say something like, hey, Pastor Wong, I really want to visit your church because I have heard a church-wide revival has broken out in your congregation. Or, we want to visit your church because we heard that a substantial number of unsaved people came to know the Lord and experienced wonderful transformation. Let me give you an example. We have a brother from the Cantonese congregation, now in the Cantonese congregation. You know, he came to know the Lord a couple of years ago, and he has experienced transformation in his life. And then the middle section of this part of the sanctuary is filled by his friends and relatives. Close to 30 of them. You know, people are eager to see amazing work of God. Let us emulate this unique characteristics of the Church of Antioch. Let's become attractive to outsiders meaningfully. Number five. Teach on the cause of discipleship. Today it's common to see Christians urging non-Christians to be saved by highlighting its benefits and blessings, but conceal the true cost of discipleship. Oh, come to know Christ, you know, you can enjoy peace, you can, you know, have eternal life, you can enjoy, you know, Christian love and all that, but we say very little about the cost of discipleship. Jesus says it very clearly in Luke 14. This is what he said. Now you have to understand the context. After he performed miracles, a lot of people follow him. The scripture says a lot of people follow him. It was that kind of background. Jesus said these solemn words. So he was saying to those who follow him for wrong reason, he was saying to new Christians, don't say that, you know, these are harsh sayings and that shouldn't be shared with new Christians because Jesus did that. Now look at what he said. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Now you have to understand, if we don't pay the cost, non-Christians will laugh at us. They have all the rights to challenge what we believe in. The Antioch church understood that important teaching, this important teaching, and they did not shy away from teaching it. Now look at two verses. Chapter 11 again, verse 23. Second half of verse 23. He rejoiced and began to, this is Barnabas, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with a resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. Now, with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord, it implies getting ready for hardship. Lean on God, trust in Him as you face storm in your Christian faith. Now, there's another verse that is more clear. Look at chapter 14, verse 22. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations, not some, but through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Now keep in mind, this was teaching for relatively young believers. The recipients were relatively new in the Lord at the time. From a human point of view, perhaps we may say, well, save these harsh teaching a little later, but apparently the Church of Antioch did not do that. They did not only teach on what Christ did for us, but also the cost of following Him. Now these days, we have a lot of Christians who claim to be Christians, and yet when we talk about the cost of discipleship, they just want to get, they don't want to give. That's why we have problems. Let me share with you one simple application. Don't delay on talking to people about the cost of discipleship. Teach on it and do not shy away from teaching verses like these two. 2 Timothy 3:12. Indeed, all, not some, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Romans 8:16-17. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ. Notice the last phrase. If indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. Two sides of the coin. Glorify with Him and suffer with Him. Today we only touch on these five things that we can emulate from the Church of Antioch next week, we will look at another five. But since today is the first Sunday of the new church year, may I therefore ask you to join with me in prayer. We want to pray for our church. May I ask you to stand with me? We can emulate the Church of Antioch to become, number one, a church that shows extraordinary work in ordinary people. Number two, a church that supports cross-cultural work. Number three, a church that experiences God's promise of His presence. Number four, a church that is meaningfully attractive to outsiders. Number five, a church that teaches on the cost of discipleship. Now, let's pray for FCBC in these concrete ways. God, help us, help our church to emulate the Church of Antioch in these areas. Why don't we all pray out loud? Let's all pray out loud for FCBC. Shall we do that? Let's all open our mouths, pray out loud for First Chinese Baptist Church. Please. God, we pray that you would bless our church. We pray that you will help us to become attractive to outsiders, not because of our programs, not because of our buildings, not because of the resources that you have given us, but because of the work of you. May you help us, God. Oh God, help us to be a church that truly teach on the cost of discipleship. May you help us. God, we thank you very much for the opportunity that we can pray for our church as we begin this new church year. Thank you for the example of the Church of Antioch. May you hide these verses in our hearts so that we know that we have a role model to follow. These days, a lot of churches follow mega churches' model, but it's even better for us to go back to the text, go back to the Word of God, to emulate from the Church of Antioch. May you help us to be the Church of Antioch for today's world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be seated, please.
Before we take our benediction for this morning, I just want to remind you or encourage you that we do have prayer ministry available for all of you. If you have a praise or a joy or a thanksgiving, we'd like to celebrate with you through prayer. And or if you have a need or a hurt or there's an urgent matter that you need prayer support for, we'd like to be able to pray for you. Our prayer ministry team will be on the second floor. If you go up the stairs, you'll see kind of a room straight ahead. Our prayer room right by the elevators. And that's where our prayer ministry can meet with you and pray for you and with you. Okay? Shall we all rise to take the benediction for this morning? Close our eyes and bow our heads. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us to be the church and the people that you desire us to be, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Have a good week. You can hang out here for just a short time, but our next service starts at 11:45. Have a great week.
Okay, hello. Check, 1, 2, 3. Hello. Okay, we all need to leave. The Mandarin service is coming in now. So go out through the double doors or out the side. Okay, thank you. Just leave these on.